Good morning, RW Meat. It is Sunday, May 1st, 2011, and I've been to the bathroom 8 times today. I'm not just talking about the casual visits to the bathroom just to go pee, maybe your occasional solid waste coming out. I'm talking about gushing all sorts of otherworldly liquids from my orifices until I feel very dehydrated and sick and But somewhere in between the fourth and the fifth visit to the bathroom, I started thinking I need to do a sugared tomatoes post today. And I've gone back and forth all day on whether to do one and if I were to do one, what it should be about. But I've finally arrived to the point where I think I need to be in front of the microphone. Now, were I to talk about any other thing today, I think I would have skipped out on doing this post. But this issue is so fresh in my head and so important that I felt like I needed to talk about it right now. I really like the way this blog is going. Before I say anything else, I want to get that out of the way. I love being able to come here and share my thoughts with you guys, and I love on the rare occasions where we do get comments, and whenever you do post a response back, I love getting that feedback to be able to see into the heads of people who I wouldn't have otherwise been able to through the magic of the internet. That being said, I think it's somewhat irresponsible on my part, at any rate, to keep trudging along and do this blog the same way I've been doing it. I'm not talking specifically that we've been doing it the wrong way or whatnot, but if I constantly come here and do the same sort of process every week as I have been doing for the past 4 or 5 of them, without giving any insight as to whether we're improving or whether we should change anything, then I think I'm doing the equivalent of driving a car blindfolded. I like where this blog is going, but I'm constantly thinking of ways that it can be sleeker, better improved, and that it can better reflect the things that are going on inside of my head and inside of yours. And I think one of the things that we've strayed a little bit from in these 10 episodes of Sugared Tomatoes is we haven't really been talking to each other. And I'm not using we as a stand-in for you, Ryan. I want that to be clear. I'm just as guilty of this supposed internet crime as you are. We've been kind of doing our own thing, doing these segmented parts, but we really have not been communicating with each other in an audio format. To that end, this episode of Sugared Tomatoes is only going to come to you in one part. I'm not sure how often I will do these kinds of episodes, but I can guarantee their proximity will increase in the near future, especially as summer comes and I have more time to work on these. Because what we really envisioned Sugared Tomatoes being, or at least what I can tell from what Ryan has said to me and what I've said to Ryan, is we envisioned Sugared Tomatoes to be one gigantic conversation. The medium of the internet is such an amazing medium. It allows people who are geographically far away from each other to communicate with each other in new and interesting ways. And I feel like both in our case and in the case of the wider internet, 9 times out of 10, this power is vastly underused. For all the conversating we can do on the internet, we never really have a conversation. And if we do have a conversation, it's about something as insignificant and trite as the royal wedding. We have genocide going on in Libya. We have massive amounts of unemployment and financial crisis all over the world, and all we could think about was 2 random people who very few of us even know personally getting married. But that is not what I came here to talk about today. I came to give my opinion on the recent story written by David Goyer for Action Comics 900 starring Superman. In this story, which takes place near, as I can tell, in the quote-unquote real world, Superman renounces his American citizenship after protesting the rigged Iranian elections of 2008 by silently standing in the middle of the election square and not letting a single shot go off. Literally nobody fires a bullet. Once the government officials get on his case for this, though, he renounces his U.S. citizenship that had earlier been honorarily bestowed upon him, and the story ends, basically. It was written by David Goyer, as I said, who is known for writing the screenplay for The Dark Knight. Now, normally, when comics get in the news, they have to do something major. Kill off a really major character, introduce somebody of a different orientation, such as the new gay character in Archie or the lesbian Batwoman, or do some sort of radically mind-bending tonal shift, such as getting Neil Gaiman to write the recent Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader miniseries a couple years back. But this time, the blogosphere has exploded, and I'm not just talking about the comics blogosphere, I'm talking about everywhere from MSNBC to Fox News to NBC. Everyone is literally talking about what, in the grander scheme of things, in this almost 100-page comic, is only 8 pages. It's a backup story, and it's not even part of the main plot. Now, I'm not trying to delegitimize it, I'm just saying that it is vastly unusual for a comic story this small, even one starring Superman, to strike this much of a chord with the general public, many of whom do not read comics. But I think I should just tell where many people are standing on this topic first before I get into mine, because I don't like to misrepresent people that I disagree with, even though I might disagree with them and not like the things they stand for. I always like to see the other side of an issue and try to grasp the other side as much as I can. So, the general consensus here, it seems to be, is that Superman stands for truth, justice, and the American way. He is the quintessential American symbol, and to see him be sold out to the rest of the world over a policy dispute, to see him be so invested in the affairs of countries that aren't under the Stars and Stripes, really upsets some people, particularly the ones that grew up with Superman as their envisionment of America. On the other hand, you've got people who are applauding this and saying that Superman and the superhero paradigm should be owned by everyone. Before I get any further into this discussion, I would just like to kind of differentiate the Americas that we're talking about. Because really, when we say truth, justice, and the American way, there are a couple things we can be referring to. There's America, the geographical landmass, which was first populated by Native Americans, indigenous people who crossed over from Beringia. There's America, the current country with the democracy and the country as it is now, the country that we live in. In 10 years, while America, the geographical landmass, might still be here, the government could be radically different, for better or for worse. So there's that idea of America as the democratic power. That's your second America. Your third America is what I like to call the American ideal, where everyone is an upstanding and moral citizen who looks out for those less fortunate than them so that they can achieve the American dream. So, at heart, you've got your geographical America, you've got your idealist America, and you've got your democratic America. Now, the thing that seems to strike people the most about this is that Superman is, in their eyes, renouncing that ideological America. By saying that he does not stand solely for America, the geographical landmass, he is in turn saying that he does not stand for America, the ideal, or America, the democracy. But on the contrary, I see it as the complete opposite thing. By renouncing the failures of America, the government, by renouncing the imperfection of America, the geographical landmass, you are not harming the American ideal. I think that everyone, I honestly believe, everyone in this country believes that regardless of who you are or where you come from, you should be able to come here, be a law-abiding citizen, and with the right amount of hard work, be able to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. That is the quintessential American ideal. Now, Superman is very much this godlike higher figure. Something that, if America was taken to that ideological extreme, everyone could become. We could literally rip our shirts off our chest and fly off into the air with that crimson shield emblazoned on our upper extremities. And that is why Superman seems so American to some people, so quintessentially freedom-loving. But I would argue that the American way is simply the way that is embodied by America. And this doesn't mean that any other country can't embody that ideal. I mean, people in Iran, as was pointed out in the story, and as was blindingly evident to anyone with half a brain who watched coverage of the 2008 Iranian elections, people in Iran want freedom just as much as we like the freedom that we have. Every single human being on this planet wants to be able to provide food for their families, to get that dream job that they've been pining after. And the idea that a place exists where you can do that is not exclusively American. And to put a monopoly on America as the moral capital of the world really kind of bothers me. There are 3 billion people on this planet, and to designate the ones that aren't part of us as this somehow lower tier of a group who is somehow more immoral than the rest of us or less deserving of this dream is astounding to me. I mean, if Superman actually existed, you would have him saving people everywhere. He's not going to not save somebody because they're from Iran, or because they're from Iraq, or because they're from Britain. He's going to save people who need it. He's going to stand up for the virtuous person, no matter what their religious beliefs, or skin color, or orientation, or religion. And the sheer fact that we hold on to him like this security blanket of American awesomeness does disturb me quite greatly. The hero paradigm is something that's very important to human society as a whole. We like to believe that within our means, within our very beings, lies enough power to influence our wider universe, to influence our wider world. Like I said, we love to think that we can just rip off our shirts and charge into a burning building. And I believe, honestly, that every human has the capacity to be a loving, to be a caring, to be a compassionate human being. But in recent years, I feel like we've hijacked that idea of compassion and turned it into something that's distinctly American. There's us, and then there's the other guys. And as soon as we start demeaning the other guys, whether we demean them for any multitude of reasons, then we say that they cannot be a part of the hero paradigm. And really, if they are not a part of the hero paradigm, if they can't have those people that rise above for whatever reason, why are they even on this planet? I think it's a fancy way of window dressing the very insidious idea that certain people who were born on this planet are inherently evil and don't deserve to be. We love to condense the Middle East into this grinding stewpot of unrest and suicide and war every which way. And there are some people in the Middle East who are legitimately evil. But the rational, common person who is just trying to put bread on the table for their family and who looks up to a person like Superman isn't distinctly American. They can be found on the streets of Tehran or on the streets of Baghdad. And I have to wonder what it is exactly that has us, as Americans, developing this crushing need to prove that we're so special. We have, as a nation, really low self-esteem right now. I mean, you can turn on any news channel and see news about the Dow Jones falling a gajillion points. Or there's that new Detroit car ad that really struck me that was basically saying, don't lower your standards, we're not dead yet. To see a nation that was by and large at once so optimistic cajoled into schoolyard bullying other countries in order to make its proverbial testosterone levels higher really kind of makes me mad. But then again, I have to wonder if it was always like this, if this is just a rosy glasses on picturing America better than it ever was. And just because I love the institution of America doesn't mean I need to love everything about the present day of it. It is not un-American to want your country to improve. Nor is it un-Iranian, and nor does that make you some sort of a Nazi communist terrorist. What have we lost as a nation exactly to feel the need to degrade entire countries and entire cultures down into some sort of other, to ground their complex histories into this easy narrative of, oh, we came and smashed the bad guy's skull in, and now it's great. Because the sheer fact of the matter is, when even if Gaddafi is out of power in Libya soon, which, considering we've been mounting airstrikes against him, he will be, that's going to take a while for Libya to recover culturally and stability-wise into a nation that can get back up on its feet again. I'm afraid of what our reaction will be. Will it be, oh, if only we had expounded our American magic sooner, we could have saved those unclean heathens from the wrath of Islam. Because while Superman stands for the American way, I think a more apt way to put it would be the optimism way, the human way. The idea that we as a species can constantly improve ourselves and can wake up every morning hoping that today will be better than yesterday. So I leave you by posing this question. Do you think that Superman is inherently an American icon? What is your reaction, Ryan, to this fictional character renouncing his American citizenship? Is it a travesty of epic proportions that shows how far we've fallen? Or is it an embrace of a kinder, gentler America that can help ailing nations back on its feet and indeed has the obligation to? If so, regardless of what your opinion is on this, why do you think we feel the need to demean certain countries as un-American? What hunger are we filling by doing that, if any? Or am I just reading too much into what was like an 8-page spread of pictures on paper? I'm anxious to hear your response to this, and along that same token, in order to get this back on a more conversational bent, I'm kind of going to request that on Friday, at least one of your parts, pose a question to me, get me thinking, get us talking, respond to this, or pose another issue of your own that you would like discussed, whether it's something as insignificant as our opinion on a comic book or on a larger societal issue. I think, as good as we've been doing with this, the important thing here is to have a conversation. Get discussing down in the comments. Get responding to each other. And never forget that when we're talking into this microphone, we're talking to people, no matter how small or large our audience will ever be. As always, Ryan, I'll see you on Friday. I'll hopefully be feeling better, but you may be feeling a little worse because, as of now, your punishment to be completed by Friday is to listen to at least 3 uninterrupted hours of non-cat and document your experience in some way. While you're listening to your 3 uninterrupted hours of non-cat, you will be expected to do nothing else save for eat, go to the bathroom, do all of that sort of stuff, and document your experience in some sort of audio format. Thank you for listening to this long, single-parted episode of Sugared Tomatoes. Hopefully I'll be back next week with something a little truer to our original form. Let me know if you like this more discussion-based format. As always, you can contact RWMead at RWMead on Twitter. You can contact me at Tomato Surprise. You can contact the blog's official Twitter account at Sugared Tomatoes. You can leave a comment down below. And you can also email us at sugaredtomatoes@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.